not doing very well, so bear with me. We've been studying for all last week. Debt and obligation. And the weight of all of the different kinds of debt, whether it's self-image or parental or societal or career or all of the different kinds of debt, produce the weight of obligation. And that obligation sometimes is subconscious because you created the debts, and the debts were created in you before you really had an option on it. And so there's legitimate debt and then there's debt that's just stupid debt.
What would legitimate debt be?
The fact that the debt is yourself. The only way you can be free is to accept your death. Without that, without the idea that an understanding of what the curse happened, then you can never get out of it. All you'll do is play in religious games.
So your debt is to die.
Huh?
So your debt is to die itself.
Right. That's the only legitimate debt. Now, let me just give you an example. Harry owed the IRS hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so we went down and talked to the IRS. And all of a sudden, as long as Harry worked for a nonprofit, the debt was there, but it was not, he didn't have to pay it. He didn't owe anything. It didn't accrue any more interest. It didn't accrue anything. One of his partners, on the other hand, also a believer, couldn't accept that. And so he has been now for, I guess since the early 80s, he has been paying the debt, and it's been collecting interest, and he now owes much, much more than he owed then because he didn't accept the deal. Several of you have gone through bankruptcy, some more than once. Bankruptcy is a way in which debt is all of a sudden obviated. It's gone. But the spiritually, it's far, far, far more gone than we can ever imagine. And so, if you accept that God has wrought all our works in us, then once we say, Father, I'm yours without condition, then everything about you is his responsibility. One of the people that works with us is going through this now in a huge, huge way. But he can't get over the hump. He can't do the Harry. And so let's look at, we've studied this one verse, but I want to look at the abundance of verses that should give you this incredible feeling of freedom and awareness of the glorious liberty into which we've been delivered. All right? So let's go. We'll start with the one we read Friday or whenever we met last. Job 23. This Job is answering Eliphaz. Eliphaz says, pay your vows, and you then shall decree a thing, and it shall happen. Byword of the prosperity gospel. Job's response is the whole of the 23rd chapter, but just let's concentrate on one verse. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Now, until you see that, you're going to walk around with weight. Every time you hear me preach about the cross and internal organs, internal stuff that you have no control over, you're going to feel a weight until there is no weight. Amen? What?
Amen.
Okay. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6. Solomon has built the temple. The temple was a parable. Because the true temple of God is built without hands. But then we come along, and you find out you are the temple. And so what happens? Let's start in verse 9. So he built a house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built the chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And all we have to do is see. And you can't see until you hear. You can't hear until you repent. So if there's all you have to do is to see the end of all things, the futility of all your efforts, and then everything after that is God's responsibility. And the reason that Matthew talks about you travel over sea and land to make one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell that you are, is because what religion does, all religions, is it takes the fact that you were already a fallen creature, and then it adds to it all their religious precepts. And every how-to that you learn becomes a debt. And it just goes on and on and on until you are so laden with debt of all of the different debts that we studied that there's no life. And we see that. This is what's going on in the world. All right. Let's go to Psalm. Let's start looking a bunch in the Psalms. Go to Psalm 57. We're going to read the whole psalm. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And the only shadow of his wings is under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. Until these calamities be overpassed. It doesn't say these, it just, if you notice, these is in italics. Until calamities be overpassed. I will say unto the Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. I will cry unto God the Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Can you accept that? Why wouldn't anyone want that? Do you believe it? Then why do you continue trying to do your own thing? Am I just, is this like a fairy tale or something to your mind? Are all the exceptions that you can conceive running through? Unto God that will perform all things for me. Just let that sink in. Every time, it's going to get worse here when we get on to the next part of Romans 13, where it says, the first part is what we've been studying, owe no man anything but to love one another. The debt that's conceived that we will talk about is so great, you can't even, there's no possibility that you can meet the standard. And that's what he wants. So that you stop this incessant trying to do. And just let this verse. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. This is the real meaning of mercy. But if you think you can do something, then what do you need mercy for? And if you know how to fix or do or de, then why do you need mercy? If you know, if you've learned all of the how-tos of life, mercy is not necessary. Anybody? You got some deals that you don't think that he's going to perform? Well, maybe he didn't want you to perform it. What would happen? You've said you presented yourself a living sacrifice. Every issue that comes up, that confronts you, you simply, just like you do on that first fruit, you put it on the altar. And then you wait. That's all. The results, what happens, isn't your business. I mean, I can guarantee you it's not going to happen the way you thought it would. That's a 100% sure thing. So if you have an image of the way you think this should happen, or if you're trying to protect anything, then nothing can happen. You have to stay in that position where in reality you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. Because of his grace, he doesn't destroy you right off the bat, but he puts these constant obstacles. Everything seems to go wrong. Why? Not because you're cursed or you're subject to the fates, but because he's waiting for you to stop. Can you feel it? Can you understand it? That is the glorious liberty. He is not about helping you do the things you think you should. He's about doing what he wants.
And allowing you to be used.
You just sort of hang around. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Now, and this includes you. You got all this crap going on in your mind, all of the reminders. You got a Sanhedrin whose purpose is to not let you be free. You've got a Sanhedrin that continues to put more and more and more weight upon you. But because you've made your bed up there in those mountains and you're discovering yourself to the wrong God, then God has to depart. He has to move away and let you come to the very depth of your being. Did I ever talk about how every invention of man since the cross has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ?
I'm so ashamed.
Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. They is your little counselors. They have prepared a net for your steps. Is it beginning to dawn on you that all these little voices in your head and all of these activities in your mind, it's never once been your friend? They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. But my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O God, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now, the reason that clouds are mentioned so often in the scriptures is because of that deal of how we're to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The clouds are doubt. If you have choices, do nothing. No matter what it looks like to anybody else on the face of the world, the face of the earth. And I promise you, this sounds really cruel, but people will be hurt besides you. Oh, that can't happen. Oh, yes, it will. But if you don't, you've got to see. You never lean on your own understanding. Never respond. You got to see that whatever you've given to God, it must remain on the altar, and you wait. There are no exceptions. A unless you think you've got, well, I've got a spiritual life, and then I've got a secular life over here, and then I've got my job over here, and then I've got my... If you've separated your life, then you can make exceptions all day long, and you're a Pharisee. The reason that Jesus condemned more than anything else Pharisees, because a Pharisee by definition is parash, comes from the Hebrew word parash. They separate. They separate their job from their school, from their education, from their family, from their, and so their life is different compartments. And I know a whole lot about that life of separating. That's what I did before I became a believer. I was a different person in each one of those lives. And it just got boring. Psalm 138. Remember the exhortation about, we talk about it in it's in both in Colossians and in Ephesians, and in one of them it says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." That's meditation. That's the true, and it's a reflexive pronoun. It doesn't mean you run around and sing and praise God all over the, you know, it's just goofy. But you do it internally. Unless you can't. I mean, if you don't have any reason to praise Him, then don't. Don't try to use praise as an instrument of getting something. But if you don't have any reason to praise Him, then you're a fool. You're among those of the entitlement. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, and notice a small g, it's before all of my phony, stupid idols, before all my idiotic gods that I've worshipped all my life. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect or accomplish that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. He will perfect or accomplish that which concerneth me. There is nothing about me that is my business any longer. I promise you, you may not like half of it, but it doesn't matter. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Well, let's go there. We'll go to Isaiah 9.
Verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, hast not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And again, then contrast that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. He shall perform the thing that is appointed for me. Period. One more, and then we'll quit for today. Jeremiah, chapter 1. Just look at one verse, but you can read the whole of it. Chapter 12. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. But the takeaway is that this has to be true with every breath of your life. No separation anymore. It may not look like you want it to. It may not feel like you want it to. It's got to be. Otherwise, it's nothing. It's everything or nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any response? I didn't pick on anybody this morning because I don't have enough energy, but...
One thing I heard strong was the idea of you remain in the place that you reckoned. And when we read that one place, he talked about his heart was fixed. The same thing. You reckon yourself dead. And all these things go on around you, but you remain in that place you've already seen and know.
Anybody else?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. It's such a comfort to know that that's always true.
Amen. Take it, big guy.